Let us pray together. We quiet our minds and hearts before you, the present God. We thank you for the reminders this morning that you're not only the God of those of the Puritans that our guests had visited the locations in this past week, but you are the God who walks the streets of London and of Paris and of Beijing and of Singapore. Lord, help us tonight as we look into your word to have a greater appreciation for who you are and a deeper reverence to so invest our lives to bring glory, honor, and praise to you in all of life. We're reminded of those that are in the midst of struggles today, and we commit them to you and pray for your special help. We pray for those that we missed today who were unable to be with us for the morning or afternoon ministries and opportunities. And then for those who've had to go back and because of illness and unwellness. And so we commit them to you and pray for your special ministry in their lives. We pray for the group that was here today that as they prepare for their return, that you would bless them. And I ask that the things that they have seen, heard, learned, experienced, thought about, encountered, so on, that you would deepen their learning opportunity and use them to impact lives for eternity. We pray for this young pastor that spoke this morning. Oh Lord, as here this afternoon, I pray that as he returns to his homeland, that you would protect him, and I pray that you would bless him. We thank you for the work that he was doing in the city where others that we know of have been working, and now as he returns to his home area, would you shield him and protect him? And I pray that you would bless him, lead him forward, and guide him step by step. We pray today for our dear friend Elizabeth. We thank you for her and pray that as she goes about her responsibilities in learning all the new ropes and details and all of the skills that are expected of her there in Papua New Guinea, that you would encourage her and that you would meet her needs and that you would wonderfully strengthen her. We ask also, thanking you for the safe journeys that you've given to so many in their travels, but we continue to pray for safety. We pray for our children, as we've been reminded that we live in a dangerous and volatile world. We pray that you would protect our children in health and safety as they go to school and as they interact with their peers and their neighbors, but also I pray that you would protect them with discernment, that as they listen, that they would hear clearly, but would be able to filter out that which is truth from that which is abominable and error. And I pray that they would be good students for your glory and for your honor. Well, we continue to commit our nation to you. We continue to commit the Prime Minister, Queen, and all those that bear the responsibility over us on the national level, but then we pray for those that are on the local level and of the heightened sense of responsibility on their shoulders with regard to the threats of terrorism and just of the other criminal activities that they deal with day in and day out. We pray for the police officers that are just a few feet from where we are at this moment. Would you please watch over them and help them? Lord, I pray that as we live out what it means to belong to Jesus before our neighbors and even the neighbors here of this church, Father, help us to be fruitful lovers of you and effective lovers of our neighbors. We pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. I would ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me again to Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter. We will be in this a couple more weeks, Jeremiah chapter 23, and so ask you to follow along as we study the Word of God. Following the events of this past Monday, Some have been asking, where was God? Where was God? Having listened to the accounts of the serious difficulties of a number of people, it reminds us that there are people who are crying out and asking, when's there going to be an end to somebody's suffering and difficulty, and what can be turned around? Just last evening, Joe Ahari was explaining to me that in a land that he is very familiar with, that people there, instead of praying in the direction of the prescribed city where they ordinarily are to say their prayers, that they have in defiance been praying toward Washington, D.C., and praying for something to happen from there, in defiance of their government and defiance of their leaders, and said that it has created quite an uproar. But in their defiance, they're saying, well, that place is not helping us and is not going to help us, and so we're going to pray to Washington, D.C. Well, I would contend that praying in the direction of even Washington, D.C., or in the direction of Jerusalem, or in the direction of some other place, is not that which brings help in the long haul. And as we saw this morning, God is now in the ministry of Christ, having ascended when he died on the cross. We've described in previous weeks in terms of the veil of the temple was rent in two. Now, I explained yesterday in the Saturday afternoon study that the veil of the temple was as thick as a man's hand. Now, you just think of taking fabric that is woven fabric that is that thick. So, I don't know if you want to say that it's half an inch thick or 5/8 of an inch thick. But if you take fabric that is that thick, what is the likelihood that just with your hands you are able to tear it? And the reality is, no, it's very thick. It's there. But when Jesus died on the cross, when he said it is finished, the veil of the temple was rent in two. So now there was access into the holy place, the most holy place, that prior to then had always been forbidden, and only the high priest could enter once a year for himself, bringing blood, and then the second time bringing blood for the nation. And so where do we pray to? Well, we have the opportunity to pray to God wherever we are. So let me ask you a couple of questions. Is God more present in a church building than in a factory? Is God more present when you're singing hymns or when you're changing oil in a car? Or when you're changing a baby's nappy? Okay? Is God more present? Is God as present in New Zealand as in the United Kingdom? Is God more present in the church than in the mall where people are now shopping? Westfield. Where is God? Well, in the catechism, we teach the children what? God is everywhere. Oh, good, good, good. You're learning it. You're learning it. Yes. God is everywhere. In the Old Testament, the prophet Jeremiah grappled with the questions of his day. He had been called of God to serve the nation of Israel in a time of great decline spiritually and politically. The nation eventually collapsed. His message was not popular with the mainstream society. He was treated with disdain by his family and nation. He had shed many tears over the spiritual condition of the majority of the people, particularly of the leaders. In chapter 22, God had given him the explicit word that the dynasty through Solomon would be permanently cut off because of the wickedness of the leaders, namely Coniah. You talk about a hopeless situation. The nation was sinking, and there was nothing to stop it. It's going down, down, down. In answer, God promised in chapter 23 to provide true shepherds who would rule with integrity and lead the people to the true God, the God of the Bible, the Lord. As we saw last week, he promised ultimately to provide that one who would be the Nutzer, the branch, who would come from Branchtown, Branchville. And that one, namely, was Jesus. But God provided hope for Jeremiah in his day through a theology lesson. So go with me to verses 23 and 24, which really is our text for this evening. So look with me at Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 23 and 24. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in the secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? Number one, please note with me, God is not limited to our location. God is not limited to our location. God is. The Bible declares the existence of God. He is near. He's nearer than your next breath. Yes, God is imminent. He is with us. Turn with me to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, verse 24. Acts 17, verse 24. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek after him, after the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him, notice, for in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own prophets have said, for we are his offspring. The reminder here is, God is our environment. You don't leave God out on the street. God is with you. There is no place that you can go to leave him. When you feel all alone, dejected, abandoned, you are not. God is with you. He is really with you. So affirm his presence. Take the moment to say, God is here. God is in this place. So when you hear somebody say, I'm going to this God-forsaken place. No, God is there. He may not be pleased with what people are doing, but he is present there. He is also far off. So God is near. God is not limited to our location. God is, the Bible declares it, God is near. God is also far off. So we use the word here that he is transcendent. He is above the earth. Now go with me to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. I want you to see several verses here in Isaiah 55. It's the same book. And in Isaiah chapter 55, I want you to see what Isaiah writes to help us understand this. Look with me at verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Verse 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, and it shall accomplish the thing which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. I want you to notice the emphasis that Isaiah makes here of saying that God is not only the God who is involved in our lives, but here the emphasis is God is the God who is above. He is transcendent. He's far above and beyond the things that we process and do. God is equally concerned with the dealings of all people who on earth do dwell. Yes, Psalm 100 says that God cares about all the peoples of the earth, and that is true, and that's the same thing that is being identified here. So he cares about Judith Collins, he cares about Peter Lacayette, he cares about the people who are in the circumstances of adversity in Iran today. He cares about the people who are in the times of great difficulty in Syria. The believers who suffered for Christ's name today in Nigeria. The people in northern Nigeria as they live under the consistent threat of Boko Haram. Or the people of Zimbabwe who suffered under difficulties, or the people of the Philippines. In all these things, the reminder is that God cares about them all. And he cares about you and me also. Number two, God is not excluded from any location. Chapter 23, verse 24. Chapter 23, verse 24. Verse 23, am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? God is not excluded from any location. Can a man hide himself from God? There is no place where you can escape God. There is no place where you can avoid God's knowing where you are and what you're doing. With our children, I would play hide and seek. That's a long time ago. But I'd play hide and seek. And then even with our grandchildren, I've had a couple of times where I've gotten to play hide and seek with them. And so it's amazing in terms of the creativity that they make in terms of hiding and so on. And the one time when I had gone back for a funeral, my son brought our grandson up, his oldest son, and we were in a one bedroom apartment, it was a one room apartment, except there was the restroom on the side. And here we were playing hide and seek. Well, there wasn't much place to hide, but I'll tell you, that little guy was diligent on seeking. Okay. Judy Rogers has written a number of songs to help children understand the children's catechism. And the one says, I'm hiding from mommy and no one can see. I'm hiding and no one can tell. But I will remember that God watches me. He knows everything that I do. I cannot see God, but he always sees me. Nothing's ever hid from God. We taught that to our children, and I just last week in reviewing the catechism with the children here in the church, we were going over that very, very principle. I cannot see God, but he always sees me. Nothing's ever hid from God. Meredith, that's true for you too, sweetheart. Nothing's ever hid from God. Number four, this is both a blessing and a warning. It's a blessing to the servant of the Lord, because it says, God doesn't forget where you are and God doesn't forget what you're doing. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. Would you turn with me there, please? Hebrews 6 and verse 10. Hebrews 6, verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Right? It's a word of encouragement. It's a word of blessing to the servant of the Lord. To the rebel, we need to learn that God takes note of every sin. In Numbers chapter 32, verse 23, The context underscores in terms of if a promise is broken. But let's turn to Numbers chapter 32. Numbers chapter 32. Numbers chapter 32 and verse 23. I'll begin at verse 21. Well, verse 20. And Moses said unto them, if ye will do this thing, if ye will go armed before the Lord to war, and will go all of you armed over Jordan before the Lord until he hath driven out his enemies from before him, and the land be subdued before the Lord, then afterward ye shall return and be guiltless before the Lord and before Israel, and this land shall be your possession before the Lord. But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. That's where that phrase comes from. You can be sure that your sin will find you out. If you make a word, you give your word and you don't keep it, God says, you can be sure your sin will find you out. So this is both a blessing and a warning. You cannot escape the presence of God. There's no place where you can exclude His presence. So in the context of the popular preachers and the prophets who were giving a false message in the book of Jeremiah, oh, they were giving a popular message. If you go back with me to chapter 23, Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 16. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not of the mouth of the Lord. They say, still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they say, every one that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. The reminder, and then verse 18, for who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord, and hath perceived and heard his word? Who hath marked his word and heard it? The reminder here is, he said, don't pay attention to the false prophets. They go against the word of God. And now, Joe handed me some stuff last night from a church in the area where it was some people, I don't know who they are, they're exposing the false teaching of that particular church. And some of you may be familiar with that church. I'll say more once I have gone through this stuff carefully to see what it is. But he'd gone with a friend after they'd gone to McDonald's and they said, where do you go to church? And he said, I go to the Bible Presbyterian, and told who the minister was. They handed him, and they said, this guy needs to read this. Well, when false prophets come on the scene, they're quick to say something in order to get the money, and like someone was saying the other night about some minister in the area, you know, wearing big diamonds and silk shirts and so forth, and saying, if you'll just do and you'll hand your money over, you'll do this too. Be careful, dear ones. They had no interest in what they had to say. They seemed convinced that God did not know what they taught, and they thought they could get away with it. Look at verse 21. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil, from the evil of their doing, from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Oh, dear ones, that's why we keep trying to bring you back to what the Word of God says. I want you to know God, and I want you to know Him on the basis of His Word, so that whatever comes, whatever happens, you have the sure foundation of the Word of God under you. God did care. Look at chapter 23, verse 25. I have heard what the prophets said that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of these prophets and the prophesied lies? Yea, they are prophets of deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. And the passage continues, and we'll have more to say about that in the coming weeks. But I come then to my third point for tonight, and that is, God is present in every location. God is present in every location. Back to verse 24. Can any hide himself in the secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? That's where we tie this together with Acts 17. His presence fills heaven and earth. Now turn back with me to where we were this morning, Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 19. Ephesians 1, verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him up from the dead and set him on his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. Now notice the last phrase there. That the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Do you hear the echo of Jeremiah? The same thing. God fills everything in every way. He is equally present in all places and at all times. Every one of us is always in the presence of God. When you're on the playground, or when you're in the classroom, or when you're baking cakes, or when you're sorting out financial records, or you're working through telephone responsibilities, or you're working through caseloads, or you're simply working through your day-to-day responsibilities. We struggle to understand this truth. So we attribute church buildings or relics, a cross, a picture, a movie, a statue of a saint, and we say, that's the presence of God. No, we missed out. In Greece, in the summer of 2008, I noticed it in the summer of 2008, but I also noticed it in the summer of 2005. There were little boxes along the road, and I wondered what in the world these things were. They were shrines by Christian people, Orthodox people, Greek Orthodox people. They had little shrines. So at the docks, there were shrines where the people could seek a blessing on their way. And so they would stop at this little shrine and they would ask for a blessing of it. Oh, dear ones, God's grace extends to all places. Paul reminds us in Titus chapter 2:11 that the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. His rule extends to all places. In Psalm 24 and verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, a reference that I quoted earlier today, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But then I note, his rule extends to all places, and his wrath extends to all places. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, we find the text. So turn with me to Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Romans 1, verse 16. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shewed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. The passage continues, but the reminder here is that God holds the whole world accountable. And then, in John chapter 3 and verse 36, the wrath of God abides on us. John 3 and verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And the reminder, dear one, is that the wrath of God abides and abides and abides and abides and continues to abide. It will abide forever. Go to the book of Revelation chapter 20. Chapter 20, verse 11 and following, and we don't have time to turn there this evening. But in reading that, he says, the sea is going to give up the dead that are in there, and death and Hades are going to give up the dead that are in there. All people will be judged before God, and they will be under the wrath of God forever. Because God is everywhere, we are never forgotten, nor away from God. He never abandons us. Because God is everywhere, every action I do, every word I say, every thought I permit to pass through my mind, everything is under the watchful presence of God. Don't try to run from God. Stop. Rather, go to Him. Receive His grace while there is yet the opportunity. For 25 people last Monday night, they had no idea that they were facing their final hour, their final minutes. Would they have repented had they known it? I don't know. What I know is, none of us knows. And so my plea with you is, dear one, turn to the Lord. Turn while you have the opportunity. Turn to Him. Don't try to run from Him. Are you feeling that God has forsaken you? Perhaps you have broken fellowship with Him through disobedience. Repent and be restored. If you have simply gone, you're going through a time of adversity, dear ones, remember that He is with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Continue to walk with Him. Continue to walk with Him. Continue to trust Him. That's the word that he gave to Jeremiah, that Jeremiah gave in Jeremiah chapter 23, and that's the word for us today. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we do thank you that you are a faithful Father and that you do walk with us through all of the ups and downs, the ins and outs of our lives. We thank you that you faithfully walk with us. But Lord, in those times where we are tempted to divert from the path, to do things that you forbid, oh dear God, I pray that you would bring conviction upon us and bring us back to yourself. But we pray for the millions of people in the city of London who are outside of Christ. Of the 14 million who live here, we do not know how many of them really know you. But Lord, there may indeed be millions who are still untold. Will you take us as your representatives into the marketplace this week that we might represent you and that we might tell people of the ever-present God. May we teach that to our children. May we encourage one another with this in the day-to-day experiences of our lives. We pray in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.